Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting.
Than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience.
With Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
Yeah. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
I have used the term mostly peaceful to describe protests, and I was wrong. Welcome to this edition of Drive Time. It's Jason. Dan is back with us. Laura updating us on the news. I'm glad to have you with us today. The nation has been watching as in LA, the protests have filled the streets. And for me, it is flashback city. It is absolute flashback city to the George Floyd riots and protests here in the Twin Cities. At that point, I was a news anchor, anchoring the morning news at Channel 4. And we're so worried on being fair. On being fair as to what was going on and not overemphasizing the violence and the fires and the danger. We were really focused on trying to do it in a way that was responsible and fair. I think we were wrong in describing protests as mostly peaceful. And I'm going to explain why, and this has come up again because I'm hearing reporters in Los Angeles describing the protests as mostly peaceful. These anti-ICE, immigration, raid protests in LA as mostly peaceful. And I can explain why I think reporters do that and why I think they're wrong. Because I think it's inherently biased, it's political, and it's different from the way we describe every other illegal action, period. Let's start with a little bit of the sound that we've been hearing as reporters are doing this. And it, honestly, it's become a meme and a cliche hearing people describe while you see fires burning and vandalism and other stuff going on. And then you hear this.
And of course, what started as a peaceful protest against recent immigration actions earlier today and the deployment of the National Guard, that all suddenly turned violent.
Abraham Lincoln was killed today at a play that started with tremendous performances and a great deal on tickets. No one would ever say that. No one would ever say it. Because the news event is not the protest. The news event is that stuff is being lit on fire. Police are being threatened. Now, part of the news is also, as you may have seen on social media, an L.A. police officer, I believe it was an L.A. police officer, who just fired a rubber bullet at a woman who clearly was a journalist. She was standing there holding, she's from Australia. And you ever watch the news in Australia? The microphones are the size of a koala. They're enormous. So don't give, well, it could have been, no, it was clearly a journalist. This guy like, pow, like, and you see him in the back of the video just taking aim at this woman, just outrageous. So that's part of the story too. The fact that the protest is mostly peaceful makes the news media sound like absolute idiots. And maybe you have an idea of a better way to describe this because the idea is to counteract the narrative that, you know, the most dramatic pictures are the most representative pictures. And I get that. But like last week when you had out at Boom Island Park a mass shooting, the news doesn't say it's mostly a peaceful gathering. Five people were shot and one was killed. Like, no. You say five people were shot and one was killed because that is the news. The fact that there were a couple hundred people hanging out and maybe they were having a good time is not really that relevant. Tell me if I'm wrong. I think there needs to be a better way to sort of capture the fact that while what we're seeing is unusual in the context of what's going on, that's what the news is. That's what we talk about. Mostly peaceful is a phrase that is largely driven by advocates, by people who are happy with the protests, who are happy with the cause, and don't want you to take a dump on the cause. But mostly peaceful does not matter when you're flipping cars over, lighting them on fire, vandalizing building, and threatening people's safety. 651-461-9226. Jason, most protests are peaceful until the sun sets. I don't know. I mean, most protests are peaceful, period. Yes. The other part of the mostly peaceful protest phrase that bothers me is sort of the implication that, like, well, if we didn't point that out, most protests are violent. You're like, no, most protests are peaceful. Protesting is a strong and important part of American history and present. And in life, when there are a couple of people who spoil the whole thing, the story is about the couple of people who are spoiling the whole thing. If there were protests and they weren't lighting stuff on fire and there wasn't violence, there wasn't rioting, then the story would be about how all over the country there are all these people coming out to protest Donald Trump's immigration raids. Instead, today, the narrative is about fires, cars on fire, people fearful, law enforcement saying they're overwhelmed, Donald Trump saying, I'm not going to wait for these mamby-pamby California politicians, and he sends out the National Guard. Jason, how about saying the protest started without incident and escalated? It's maybe better. I don't know, like, stealing a car starts without, you know what I'm saying? Like, everything starts without incident and then escalates. And the escalation is what the news is. And I think most people look at this news coverage and they're like, why are the reporters making so many excuses for the people who are causing problems? What we never know in these scenarios is this line that we all want to make between protesters and outside agitators. Remember here, and we had this same conversation and terminology after the riots post George Floyd, which as a reporter, we didn't want to call them riots because that's inflammatory. They're riots. Here's how these same sort of scenes were described by the media at that time.
The protests in late spring were mostly peaceful, but damage from looting and arson will cost $1 to $2 billion in claims.
I mean, it was mostly peaceful other than that $1 to $2 billion in damage. I mean, it's just so stupid. And the reason I bring it up is because it is biased. It is bias. It's biased language. The goal is to be unbiased. And I think the motivation of the media when they're doing this, I do think the motivation is good. That the motivation is to give an accurate representation of the overall movement. The overall movement that's going on is peaceful. Fine. Congrats. Great. The reality of what develops is not peaceful. So when the first phrase is like, well, it was mostly peaceful, and let's go to the video and show 17 cars flipped over and buildings with windows blasted out, and then we also see police overreacting in many cases. We saw it here where state and federal investigators found fault with our police department in intentionally going after protesters and reporters by shooting those supposedly non-lethal rubber bullets, which may be non-lethal, but they sure put an eye out. They sure cause a lot of harm. So to me, the story is not, all right, yeah, okay, the protest, you know, a couple of guys having an argument starts as a robust exchange of ideas before it turned deadly and they started shooting each other. Could you imagine if the media covered every single story with this same little tiptoeing through the reality that they cover protests? It just doesn't make sense to me. To me, it is political. Lots of text coming in. 651-461-9226. I'll share your thoughts. Your calls are welcome too. You can comment as well live on our YouTube channel. We're streaming this show on YouTube at the WCCO Radio YouTube channel. Just click on live, leave your comment, give us a like and subscribe, and we'll share it here on the air. Drive Time back in a minute. You know, I just want more clarity and more truth out of the coverage of these sorts of protests and less fear from reporters that you're going to get torched for saying it's a riot. Well, it was mostly peaceful. Come on. We also can call out the law enforcement for overreacting when that happens. Listen to the audio of this Australia reporter as she gets hit by this.
Hours of standing off, this situation has now rapidly deteriorated. The LAPD moving in on horseback, firing rubber bullets at protesters, moving them on through the heart of LA.
So she steps back. And you
shut the fuck up.
That was a walk of getting hit by a rubber bullet. You know, we had to talk about that too, right? Because that's part of what's going on. This is all the news about what's going on to me. The idea that we need to bend over backwards to say, you know what, like the protests are doing fine. No, we need to figure out in this country, because I am a big supporter of protests. I am more than I think many of you are. I am a supporter of protest. And I am very concerned that the default for protest today is like one little tick below tinderbox. And I don't know what to do about that. I want people to protest. I don't get that mad when we have people blocking roads in downtown Minneapolis like we've had in protests here before. I know it's inconvenient. I know there might be an ambulance in the thing. But you know what? Sometimes there's a car crash, too. And so it doesn't make me that upset that people are exercising their First Amendment rights. What does make me upset is that it seems like we're always just a notch below fires and burning cars and destroying homes and go, like, to me, what is going on? So why are we always that close? You know, what the way the Washington Post described it, they say, although most appeared peaceful, some demonstrators threw objects at police officers in riot gear. I guess my issue is that we don't, when we're reporting on these things, we don't give law enforcement that same sort of benefit of the doubt. You don't say, well, most police officers were level-headed and didn't lose their cool. Like, you just don't. So why do we do this with protesters? Jason, the mostly peaceful phrase tells the whole story. The violence is part of the whole story. To me, mostly peaceful is the expectation. It's with when you say that there was a protest, it's implied that it was mostly peaceful. Like, that's the other side of this that bothers me, that the reason you have to say mostly peaceful is because so many people assume that a protest is inherently violent. I assume a protest is inherently peaceful. Texter, WCCO during George Floyd refused to use the word riot. They all said protest. I think I forget who is the former newscaster for Channel 4 who pointed that out repeatedly, that WCCO refused. I think you mean me, right? I get it. You know, I also think, look, you have to look in the mirror and ask yourself why you're so desperate to hear the media call it a riot. Why is that so important to you? The pictures tell the story. I also think it's fair to question, like, I think in this coverage, to me anyway, what I've seen, the journalists are more willing to be straight up and say it was violent. Violent protest. From what I've seen, is this in L.A. a riot? I don't know. There is a broader, this is a bigger picture, Dan, where people are so desperate to have their belief repeated to them. And if you don't say it the way they want you to say it, then you're a fraud. Then they're mad at you. To me, like having a journalist call it a riot, what? Look at the video, look at what's happening, call it whatever you want to call it. Like, why is it so important? But I do think there's a certain degree of you don't want to offend anyone. So you're like, well, is it a riot? Is it not a riot? It's mostly peaceful. I just think the mostly peaceful thing is played out. Jason, you people minimize these riots. You say it's okay to shut down highways. The left has been hijacked by radicals. So using the logic of this texter, every texter is a right-wing lunatic and has no judge of reality. Like, no, it's just you. It's fine. No one on this radio station has ever minimized riots, so give me a break with that. Do I think the mainstream media and their reporting minimizes riots? I don't think so. What are all the images? What is all the video? All the video is of all the stuff being lit on fire, of people throwing crap in buildings, of people fighting with cops. The visuals tell the story. I do think there is a little bit of fear to just call a spade and say what's happening is what's happening. There has to be a better way of putting it into context. To me, mostly peaceful has become a meme and a cliche and a fail. And it is driven by people who want to defend the protesters, which I don't blame them for that. Defend the protesters. But saying it's mostly peaceful makes the media look ridiculous. Jason, once people get hurt and there is property damage, it is no longer a protest. You are trying to explain what is unexplainable. I mean, that's just wrong. Like, it. Yes, it is a protest. And yes, now it's a violent protest, right? It's still a protest. What I am saying is we need to get around. We need to stop with this mostly peaceful stuff and just call it out. I am very pro-protest. I am very against violence, vandalism. And I think we went through this period where it's like, wow, it's just a building. It's just, you know, how upset is the media going to get about property damage? Look, if you are trying to advance a cause today, anytime you have a protest, you are in danger of the thing blowing up. And while your cause may like that, most of us don't. Most of us don't. And today, the images out of L.A., and I showed one from the L.A. Times on our YouTube stream right now. It is someone on a skateboard holding a Mexican flag as you see, I don't know, five or six cars on fire. You know who wins that image? Donald Trump and ICE. 3:32, we break, we cleanse the radio timeline with a Monday message from Dan, who spent this past weekend camping. What does camping have to do with the Monday message? Find out in just a minute here on Drive Time.
Yo, it's Jay Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer.
SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, after a weekend away from me, Dan took Friday off, headed out to the woods.
Now, why do you have to frame it that way?
Well, it's all...
Why is it going to be away from you? You think that was my primary goal, was to get away from you?
What the...
I mean, it was at most, like fourth or fifth on
the
list.
Yeah, I mean, do I have to try to make everything about me? The answer is yes.
Yes. Why, yes, yes, you
yes,
do.
Yes, I do. Yes. You went camping this weekend. I admire the fact that you go camping. I'm also a little bemused about it.
I think those are both completely appropriate reactions on your part. Today, the Monday message today is go get your good. What do I mean by that? One of the reasons that I go camping for me was something my parents drug me along to when I was a kid. And I went, and some of it was fun. You know, what kid doesn't like roasting marshmallows over a campfire and just running around like a chicken with your head cut off and just being crazy as kids because you're out in a state park or wherever you're at and you can do that and not get into too much trouble, right? But it wasn't something that stuck with me as I grew up. It wasn't something that I really gravitated towards. I am a city kid. I like my concrete. I like my neon. I like creature comforts. I like all of that stuff. And I grew up and sort of just gravitated to that and away from any notion of being out in nature. And for me, camping is something that has sort of worked its way out of my faith as I have gone on my discipleship journey. The importance of creation has been made aware to me. I mean, it's something that I'm more aware of now than I ever have been in my life. And what I mean by that is in the creation story, you see the phrase repeated, and God saw that it was good as different things are being created. And what you have to understand, you know, when we're doing biblical translation, words have deeper meaning in original languages often than they do in English, right? We think of good, we think of something as nice, we think of something that's fine, we think of something that's mildly positive. But the word that is used there for good is not just good, it's good that generates more good. It's good that plants seeds or produces seeds that produce more good, that produce more good, that produce more good. And one of the reasons I really enjoy camping is, A, it separates me, when I'm intentional about it, from some of the creature comforts that I'm so used to. It sort of forces me to get out of my bubble and do some things. But also, when you're able to just sit at a campsite, and we were at a state park, it's not like we were off in the middle of a forest, you know, completely cut off from all civilization. But when you're able to be outside in that kind of nature-filled settings, you notice things you cannot notice walking down the streets of downtown Minneapolis. And one of the things that struck me, and I don't know why, but as the night progressed Friday, you know, there's all kinds of birds making sounds and doing their things. And my friend had one of those apps that, you know, will translate, or not translate, but it will tell you based on the call what kind of bird it is. And so he's standing there in the campsite with his phone up half the time looking like a fool. But he's trying to figure out what the different bird sounds are. But as the night progressed, then the frogs or toads or whatever there are out there start making their noises, right? And that becomes sort of almost not quite white noise, but it's there, but it's in the background, but it's more noticeable than a white noise would be, right? Until about 1 a.m. when I wake up and I notice that sound is completely gone. Like not the occasional sound, just gone. And I wonder why that is. And I don't know that, I don't have an answer for that. Huh. But these are the kinds, my point is that these are the kinds of things that you notice, this connectivity that we have with nature, the noticing, the being in it, the what it does for your soul, you can't get unless you're intentional about going out in it. And that doesn't mean you have to go camping to find it, right? We're at William O'Brien State Park, right? Not that far away from the metro area. Plenty of day trips that you can do into the state park and hikes to go on, go down by the river, there's all kinds of great programming at various state parks. And a state park pass for the year, by the way, $35 is crazy. A ridiculous crazy. Value.
Yeah.
Ridiculous value for the access that gets to you. But it reminds us also that in our humanity, in our personal creation, we were designed and we were seen to be good, which means that we have a responsibility to produce more good. Yes, we in and each of ourselves are a good creation, but we are a good creation designed to bring about more good. And sometimes that's through family, and sometimes that's through your career or your vocation or whatever. And sometimes it's just the way that you position yourself towards the people that you run into out of nowhere on the street, right? We are designed to be beings that do good, that are not just for ourselves, not just, you know, how do I do something that's going to benefit me?
Yeah.
How do I convince you that this thing that I'm pitching at you actually is going to be good for you, even though it's really good for me? That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about doing good for others, doing good for the creation around us, doing good for the people we love, and often for the people we don't love so much. How do we be beings that go find our good and remind ourselves to be doing good on a day-to-day basis? And these are the kinds of things that I think about, that I find connectivity to when I go camping, and it's what keeps me going camping, even though there's plenty of inconveniences, and it poured rain Saturday night into Sunday, so all of our stuff got wet and you had to go home and try to dry everything out. Yeah. And it was windy on Sunday, so everything I tried to dry out tried to go airborne on me. There's a lot of stuff.
Do you think it's there's something about nature that creates that moment,
yes,
that clarity? Or do you think it's the fact that, like, you're separating yourself from the light?
Yes.
It's both.
I think it's both. Right. I think there is
something. But is there magic? Like, could you achieve this if you gave me your phone on Friday night?
First of all, if you ever try to take my phone, I'll break your arm. Secondly, no, I really think that it's a combo platter. I think if you just locked yourself away in a room with no contact with anything or anybody, I don't think that's the same experience as getting away into creation, into stuff that isn't in our heads, that's just there being, right? The animals, the trees, the plant life, the rivers, the lakes, all of this, they're just being. They're just there. It isn't, you know what I'm saying? It's not actively trying to do anything to or for us. It's just there.
It's just
for
being,
us to experience, for us to be reminded of that we are here to care for, and for us to remember that the caring for creation includes each other.
Yeah.
All of that. My friend is, he would call himself an atheist. I always call him an agnostic. We have the most wonderful conversations about spirituality and about life, and absolutely had several of those conversations over the course of this weekend. Also something that wouldn't happen if we weren't intentional about going and doing this trip. So
I do think there is magic, you know, in I always describe myself as a great indoorsman. The outdoors.
That label has been slapped on. I texted a group of people over the weekend with pictures of me out in the state park going, yeah, that noted indoorsman bit, here you go.
There is something that happens, though. Like, it's part of why I like to ride my bike.
Sure.
And there is, and I like to do it in a way that I can hear the wind, and I can hear the birds, and I can hear the rustling of the leaves. Like, there's something about being, you have to be in it. You can't just be walking in it with earbuds.
Exactly. And that's where, you know, it doesn't, like I said, it doesn't have to be camping. There's all kinds of activities, but it's about being out in nature, in the world, outside of your normal routine.
That's why when you say it doesn't have to be camping, it maybe has to be camping for you. It maybe has
right
you
for
know
me.
What I mean?
Maybe yeah.
Like it has to be something. And maybe if you're a city person, it means you got to go to Duluth or Mankato or Stearns County and go wander around the, you know, the granite pits. Like there's something. There's something about getting out of yourself that's part of that too.
Yep, precisely. And in doing that, I think we are strongly reminded of the good that is in us and the good that we can be doing for others. That's why I call it go get your good.
Go get your good. Really interesting. Fishing, hunting, hiking all accomplish the same things.
Absolutely. 100%. Absolutely.
But it is, there is, it's interesting how, in a way, because you were with a friend this weekend, but sometimes you go alone.
Yep.
And it doesn't require
It's a lot
solitude.
Less work to go with my friend, by the way.
Setup
is so much easier when there's two people there. It's amazing.
You did send me a picture of you two early.
Yes.
Humid.
Yes. Well, it was...
A little tiring.
Humid, and then, yeah, we were just, you know... we're both 50 years old at this point. We're just not in that great shape
anymore. I know,
anymore,
right?
You know?
Yeah.
It's a lot of work.
Do you think, like, if I went to a yurt in the woods, would it still work?
100%.
I think so.
Yes.
Look,
this wasn't that rustic. There was a full bathroom and shower area within 100 feet of our campsite. So, you know, it's not like we're really roughing it that hard. So,
Dan Ugel wants to know if you can achieve your enlightenment if there is a mosquito in your ear. That is nature, too. That is one of the sounds of the great outdoors. Ugel, very good point.
One of the great theological mysteries of life. Is the existence of the mosquito.
Well, we are going to talk a little later in this show about mosquitoes.
Seems to serve no purpose whatsoever other than...
Because there is science.
I'm more mad at ticks than I am at mosquitoes from this trip, so yeah.
There is science that could allow us to get rid of mosquitoes entirely.
Yeah.
And do we want to do it? So we'll talk about that probably around 4:45, about an hour away. Let's break. Thank you, Dan. Something to think about this summer as you're making your plans. Maybe a camping, nature staycation is in your plans. Terry Moran from ABC News is going to have a little bit of time to go camping. Why posting on social media after midnight is never a good idea. And what does the Terry Moran situation tell us? Is the mainstream media straight up biased against Donald Trump? I'll share my thoughts on that next. Don't ever tweet after midnight. Just don't do it. Terry Moran, who's an ABC News correspondent, he actually had a one-on-one interview, an exclusive interview with Donald Trump in the Oval Office. And Trump doesn't do interviews with everybody, right? So he's talking about Stephen Miller. The thing about him is not that he is the brains behind Trumpism. He said, but that's not what's interesting about Miller. It's not brains, it's bile. He's a world-class hater. He is richly endowed with the capacity for hatred. He eats his hate. Trump is a world-class hater, but his hatred is only a means to an end. And that end is his own glorification. Now, this is at midnight on Friday night. Terry Moran deleted it. Around 11 o'clock at night, I think my thoughts are at peak as well. Here's what Chris Saliza, our friend Chris Saliza, had to say about all that. Oh, we don't have it, sir. Sorry. I don't have time for it. That's why. I'll send you a link to that. But Saliza says, look, the problem is that Terry Moran, who gets suspended, showed his personal beliefs. Now, does this mean that Terry Moran is a bad reporter? No. Means he screwed up. Does this mean that every reporter out there, as Republicans are now trying to claim, wants to bring down Donald Trump? I don't think so. I think people get too hung up on this question as to whether or not reporters have opinions. They do. Reporters do have opinions. The question is, does that interfere into your work? I don't care if the most biased person in the world is doing good work and presenting fair coverage. So I think people get too hung up on, well, this guy hates Trump. I don't know. I don't think that was a hate. Well, it was a post about hate. If you're a good reporter, you want to take down whoever's in power. Like, that's sort of part of the bit. You want to expose those issues. Another bullet in the canister, in the chamber for the Republicans. So.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer.
SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.